And I do believe, just like marriage is a calling, singleness is a calling. And I know many of you may be like, I'm sick of being single. Well, that's great. And but for those that actually do enjoy it and want to use it as a way to serve God wholeheartedly and fully, celebrate them. Champion them. But the sign, yes, for those that can stay single forever, is because you have the ability to literally deny sex and not want it at all. Hey, what's going on, everybody? We are excited for today's episode. It's Jamal
and Natasha.
We want to welcome you to the Becoming the One podcast. Man, every single episode, we are making it our goal to help you prepare for your future marriage. And we know today's topic is going to get real, because it's something that I'm sure many of you have definitely thought about, definitely probably ran across your mind at some point of being single. So today's topic is, I've been single for so long, am I called to celibacy?
That is a really, really great question. And I'm sure that many of you guys right now are thinking, man, I have thought about that before. And today we want to help bring clarity.
Absolutely.
To that conversation and really talk about what celibacy means in the Bible and in our culture today.
Absolutely. So let's dive into it, right? This is a good one. I'm sure right now, if you've been single for a very long time and you've gotten to a place to where, is it the Lord's will for me to be single forever, right? Is it God's will for me to be single forever? I'm going to tell you right now, I believe that God wants as many as can and are and willing to get married. Why? Because in the very beginning, God created Adam and he created Eve, and he said it's not good for man to be alone. But I do believe that alone was talking about friendship, right? So I do believe the first alone phase that God wants is for everyone to have companionship. But I do believe then, once Adam had companionship in Eve, there was as well dominion. And I believe that God has created married couples to be able to take dominion through procreating, by creating godly children in the earth. So God is 100% a proponent of marriage. But what happens when you get to a place to where you're not finding someone, or you're not being found, or it's not working out? You get to a place where you begin to wonder, is it the Lord's will? And this is where the question now becomes about this question of celibacy. So let's actually go to the Word of God about this, because I don't want it to be just Jamal and Natasha's opinion, but let's go to the Word of God about this thing called celibacy, right? And what we find here, this passage of scripture here, guys, is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7. And this is coming from Paul, who we all know never got married. All right? So Paul says, I wish that all of you were as I myself am. Which at that point he's establishing, I wish all of y'all were like me. I wish you all had, and he goes on to say, the gift. But each has his own gift from God. One of a kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. He's not saying that you have to. He's just saying, hey, it'd be great. If you're not, if you're unmarried or if you're a widow, it's cool. Remain single, right? But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now, this scripture has definitely been taken out of context, definitely been used in many other ways in regards to, hey, if y'all out here burning with passion, marry anybody. It don't matter who you marry. Please just get married so you can have sex. And there's been a lot of people who've gotten married just due to the fact that they can't control themselves any longer. That's not what this scripture was saying. Don't just go marry anybody.
And I think too, even just to bring attention to that, like, I remember even just growing up, and I had friends who like met in high school and they were Christians and they were kind of, you know, having sexual interaction, and they were like, no, I don't want to, you know, dishonor God. So and everybody was like, get married. And I remember, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And then literally, like, I think it was like 2 years into their marriage, they ended up getting a separation. So I think it's so important to know, like, okay, God, is this, you know, my flesh that needs to be tamed? Or is this something that you've actually called me to? And I like in that passage of scripture of how the Apostle Paul says that it's a gift. It's a gift. And who gives good gifts? Our Heavenly Father. So I believe that it is a gift that God can actually grace you to have.
And I know our pastor said this, and this was so liberating for so many people. And I know this is probably going to hit home for a lot of you. especially those of you that are single moms. Mm-hmm. What happens is that a lot of you think, I've got to honor God by marrying my child's father because I had sex with him. We had sex. We had a child. This is what's best for the child is for us to be together. No.
It's even basically saying I sinned. So, you know, this
let
is.
Let me clean it up.
Yeah, let me clean it up. And this is my reward for sinning. Like, I have to do this because I sinned versus knowing, okay, God, he forgives you of that sin. Therefore, it's like, hey, you still have an opportunity
to
experience a restoration and choose who you want to spend the rest of your life
with. But this all comes around that concept of what happens when you are burning with passion and you have sex and then you have a child, but you were not fully persuaded/called to marry that person. And this is where we have to be very careful about this. And I know we're kind of going a little bit of a rabbit trail, but I want to establish for those of you that have had children out of wedlock and you're contemplating, should I be with my child's father? If it's the Lord's will and you desire to be with that person and you both can have a healthy relationship and you both are on the same page and marrying them is the best decision for your future, do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I know my sister, I don't want to put her out, but her and her husband, they experienced this and they got married and they have an amazing marriage and they're together today. And I remember that was a huge thing in our family. But I remember helping her, walking her through this process so that she can make the best decision for her future and for her children. But a lot of times by default, we think we have to immediately get married due to that. But here's back to the conversation of what we're saying today about the gift of celibacy, right? The gift of celibacy is the ability to not desire sex. Mm-hmm. That's what Paul is saying. I wish you all were like me. Mm-hmm. I wish you all had the gift from God. And then he goes on to say, but if they cannot exercise self-control, which means if you have a desire to be intimate with a person and you are having to, yes, exhibit self-control, but you're saying, I don't want to have to do this forever. I'm not trying to exhibit self-control forever. Then that is a sign that you are not, you do not have the gift of celibacy. The gift of celibacy is for those that literally say, hey, I don't have the desire to be in an intimate relationship with a person, and I am content and good being single for the rest of my life unto the Lord. Which you're going to use another scripture here where Paul talks about it in regards to being a eunuch. And now here's my thing, and I want to liberate for those of you that feel like you actually can.
Yeah.
And you have this gift, and you're like, man, like, I really don't have a desire for marriage, nor a desire to have sex. I really am good. My goodness, that is amazing. You have a gift that now you can serve the kingdom of God and give yourself fully to the kingdom. And that's amazing.
And I think too, just bringing even honor back to celibacy and making that decision and knowing that, hey, that's not something that needs to be downplayed or dishonored because somebody chooses that way of life. And I really believe that those who walk in that gift of celibacy, there's an anointing on them, right? To where they're able to do things that possibly a woman or man who is in covenant is unable to do.
Absolutely.
And I, you know, even Jamal and I were talking even prior to this podcast about just even in our culture today that it's so infused with sex and just immorality and everything. So for you to have that gift to be able to say, you know what, no, I'm not going to be, you know, transformed by what I'm seeing or what I'm feeling or even what my community and friends are telling me, because I know that, you know, people can get really, really mean and even disrespectful if you're saying, hey, you know what, that's just not what I want to do. To where I know I've at times been like, are you sure? You know, so I think too, it's very much, if you're listening to this podcast or this episode, we want to encourage you to honor and uplift people who are making the decision to do that.
Please.
Because
don't call them weird. People, don't call them crazy.
Don't call them weird. Don't call them crazy. Don't look at them as
like, oh my God, you what?
It's
like,
possible.
It's possible, y'all. Like, it really is. And I do believe that God has those that have been called.
Yes.
Like Mother Teresa is an example, a great example of a person who had the gift of celibacy, who gave herself to the work of the Lord.
And look what she was able to do.
Look at the legacy she left on the earth. And I do believe, just like marriage is a calling, singleness is a calling.
Amen.
And I know many of you may be like, I'm sick of being single. Well, that's great. And but for those that actually do enjoy it and want to use it as a way to serve God wholeheartedly and fully, celebrate them.
Champion them.
But the sign, yes, for those that can stay single forever, it's because you have the ability to literally deny sex and not want it at all. But All right. Mm-hmm. For those of you that are out here like, well, listen, hey,
I need me
when it's time to party, I'm ready to party. Right? And for those of you who are like, listen, man of God, when the time is right, I'm about to let it, I'm about to let like it loose. If those, if that's you, don't let it loose too soon. All right? You still got to exhibit, and you still got to have self-control. You still got to continue to wait. And here's the thing. Right now, listen to me. Even when you get married, you're still going to have self-control, because in those moments, and this is me talking for a man, there are times of the season where a woman cannot have sex, and that does not give you permission whenever she's in her moment for you to go out here and just be out here just loosen yourself, right? This is the time where you have to exhibit self-control. Same time when a woman has a baby, right? There's a period of time where she's having to heal. You got to exhibit self-control. But and I'm not going to talk about just even, for men. Let's talk about the women.
And there's even complications as well with pregnancy to where some women... It's a lot of different things that could be happening. So you do need to be with a man who loves you, you know, for more than what you can give them sexually. And I think for even as a woman too, I know even early on in our marriage, I don't know, I have a very romantic mindset. So I just felt like, okay, me and Jamal are married. So like, he's going to look at me all the time with just googly eyes, and he's not going to ever look at any other woman and find them attractive. And
talk
y'all,
about
early
it,
on, I remember us being on a cruise. And I saw this other girl walk by. No, it wasn't. No,
no,
it's not.
No, you're good,
that,
baby.
No.
It's good. It's
and,
talking
and,
out,
and
girl.
I
tell
saw
the
him
truth.
Look, and it wasn't him staring like,
nah.
You know, but I was like, wow, okay, she is attractive and she is pretty. So I think even as a woman, you have to be secure right. in your femininity and your womanhood of knowing that, hey, okay, my husband, he is not a woman.
Right.
He is a man, and
right.
men are visual, but he has to have enough self-control so
talk
that he does
it.
Not act like an animal out
Come
there
on now.
Of just, you know, moving on every urge. And even as a woman, I still find other men attractive. I still see other men, and I'm like, oh, okay, he's
it.
A good-looking guy.
Talk about
but
it.
I'm not going to, you know, DM them
talk
or, you know,
and
act
just,
sexual
and just
around
to
them.
Add on to this, right? We're establishing that the last your spouse is not the last person you'll be attracted to. Let's
try to bust that bubble, ladies.
Let's just establish it, right?
It's true.
There are men that my wife is going to see that probably got bigger biceps, that's 6'2", that can do a whole lot more stuff that I can do for the glory of God, right?
Yeah,
and there's and same thing. But what you have to do, that's why self-control is important.
Important.
Because you have to learn how to control yourself. And you learn this in singleness.
Yeah.
Because if you out here just doing whatever you want in singleness, you're not going to be able to control yourself in marriage. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's so key to be able to get this fruit of the spirit in your life before
Man.
Marriage, because when you get married, you're going to be even more challenged and more tempted than possibly than
unlocked.
You were
yeah.
when you were, because some it's, people have said it, when you become married, you actually become more attractive. Like, ooh, okay, I mean,
yeah.
you take care of his
for
wife.
For real, that was
okay,
true.
I look at you, you know what I'm saying?
I've
and
got
so,
approached more being pregnant, like walking
Jesus.
Around the store pregnant, and then even with my kids, so...
This
I
real
think
life.
It's something to dress.
But I want to read this passage of scripture here because this is another one that proves about this concept of the gift of celibacy. And this comes from Matthew chapter 19, verse 10. And it says, the disciples said to him, if such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry. But he said to them, not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs, i.e. the gift of celibacy, i.e. those who have desired to not enter into marriage and have sexual relations, who have been so from birth. Now, what he's talking about here, that these are men that literally were castrated, bless their souls. But there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have been made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom.
Mm. Beautiful.
Let the one who is able to receive this receive it. So the book of Matthew is saying here that there are ones back in the Bible that were literally forced to be eunuchs by the way of being castrated. But then there were others that were made eunuchs simply by their desire. And this is where you find those who are nuns, those who live that desire, that life of saying, I'm giving myself fully to the work of the Lord. And today's society does not really talk and expose people to this reality that you can choose to not be married, and you can
yes,
choose
okay.
to live a life fully devoted to the Lord. And that's
mm-hmm.
a great life to live, and it's amazing life to live. And I believe that you would 100% receive your reward in heaven.
Yeah.
And so the call of God is more important than our desires
yep.
and our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to weigh that. So That's our talk today. I think right now the answer to your question in regards to if I've been single for so long, am I called to the gift of call to the life of celibacy? That's your decision.
Yeah.
That is not something that would be like, oh my God, I'm having to search deep. Is it there? No. Like at the end of the day,
like a quiz or anything we can give you. I think it's really like, an unctioning from the Lord. You having that conversation, and I believe too, like there's a knowing, like there's like a moment in your life,
right,
where you get that revelation. You know what I mean?
But is God forcing it on you?
Yeah. I don't believe that.
No, He's not forcing it. Like it's a good desire to want marriage, but until you get married, continue to give yourself fully to the Lord, and as well at the same time be preparing yourself for your future marriage. No matter how old you are or no matter what you've done, there is grace for your future.
Man, this was fun, babe. I love it.
We pray
got
that
some scripture
you
in
enjoyed
there.
This, guys. Hey, we have some cool things happening, some great things coming up. Pray for your future spouse.
Yes,
it's coming up, so we can't wait to get you guys ready for that. It's going to be amazing this year. We believe with all that's happening in our world, there should be a time where you are giving yourself, focusing on fully praying for your future spouse, because we believe that marriage is important more now than ever.
Man.
As the world is in a place of lawlessness, we believe that there needs to be a place of covenant that's happening. Man. So we're excited to pray with you guys very soon. Get ready, but I pray you enjoy this episode. If you did, go subscribe, leave us a comment. I read all the comments because they bless me, they encourage me, and we thank you guys for being a part of this.
See you next time.